The Green Bay Packers are waiting to find out if Eddie Lacy is able to play against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Until they do, we bring on Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, asking him about Lacy's replacement, James Starks. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're taking one last look back at the big win over the Seattle Seahawks. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. We're always glad to have you on the show, our weekly guest here on Wednesdays during the season. All right, Nathan, let's take a look back at this Packers win over the Seahawks. They did such a nice job limiting the damage by Marshawn Lynch. Who's to credit for such a good performance on run defense?
That was definitely a team effort by everyone on the defense. First off, part of the problem for Seattle was their offensive line. Like I had mentioned last week, on average, Marshawn Lynch was getting contacted just a half a yard beyond the line of scrimmage, which is a lot better than what the Packers were doing last year when Lynch was getting 2 or 3 yards past the line of scrimmage before he was even getting touched. So the first part of the equation was getting to him earlier. And then the other part of the equation was just not missing tackles. The Packers missed a ton of tackles on Lynch last year, where they only missed 4 tackles on him in this game. And there were a lot of players on the Packers defense who graded out well in run defense without any one particular player really outshining the rest. But the player with the most run stops in the game was B.J. Raji at 3. So if I'm going to point out any one particular person, it would probably be Raji.
Yeah, he played well, but you're right. It was a team effort, no doubt about it. Lots of players played well in this game, not just one. So, unfortunately, the Packers didn't do quite as well stopping Russell Wilson in the read option. Who is at fault on those runs there? I know that's a tough job to do, to read who's going to take the ball there.
Yeah, again, it's kind of the opposite answer to the last question. It was a team effort of various people doing things wrong on various ones of Wilson's runs. On some of the design runs, I did notice Mike Daniels was someone getting blocked kind of consistently on those runs, which was making Russell Wilson's life easier. Both Nick Perry and Nate Palmer had missed tackles on Wilson at various points in the game. Another point where Palmer over-pursued too much to the inside, which allowed Wilson to scramble to the outside. And then just another 2 plays where Peppers and Mulumba were the guys responsible for stopping Wilson, and they were unable to do so. So it allowed Wilson to have a nice day running with the ball, but Wilson's able to do that on most teams.
Yeah, he is a very good quarterback for sure. After such a poor performance in Week 1, I thought Sam Shields bounced back nicely. People were calling for Shields' head after the Bears game. How did he grade out against the Seahawks, though? Because he was you hardly saw him, and I think that's a good thing for a cornerback.
Exactly. He graded out well because he was basically untested. The only time that we had him thrown at was on a screen pass, which obviously, if you're targeted on a screen pass, chances are they're going to catch the ball no matter what you do. But then he was able to make the tackle for no gain. So he did a good job on the one play, even though he allowed the one catch. So the vast majority of the time, Russell Wilson was throwing to inside guys where linebackers or slot cornerbacks were responsible. So like you said, Shields was largely uninvolved in plays. And whenever you have a defensive back and he doesn't have anything really noteworthy in the game, that's a good thing for him.
in the first start and the first extended playing time of Nate Palmer's career at inside linebacker, how did he hold up? I mean, you mentioned before earlier how he kind of missed a few a tackle or two on Russell Wilson, but all in all, how did he hold up?
Yeah, overall, he graded out a little below average. He was the lowest graded player on the Packers defense from us. On the bright side, he did have a nice tackle for a short gain after Doug Baldwin caught a crossing pass. And then he also had a pass defense. So there were a few good things out of him in the game. But on the downside, he did have that one missed tackle on Wilson on the inside over a pursue. He was also one of the players to miss a tackle on Lynch. In the run game, there were a couple of plays where an offensive lineman got to Palmer on the second level, and instead of blocking him off from one side or the other, they were able to just push Palmer backwards, and that was successful for Seattle on those plays. In the passing game, he also allowed a first down catch by Luke Wilson, and the Packers did take him out of the dime defense, which meant Matthews was playing inside linebacker all game, and then the Packers had a different pass rusher out there instead of Matthews. So that was able to help the Packers a little bit in coverage. But really the biggest thing for Palmer is he needs to not miss those tackles that he missed in that game.
Yeah, if you're a Packers fan, hopefully it's just a case of he's still young, he's still learning, and he will get better as time goes on. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, looking at the offensive side of the football, everybody's wondering, of course, how Eddie Lacy is doing. He injured his ankle in the game against the Seahawks in the first quarter, never returned. But how would you say his replacement, James Starks, did?
I think James Starks had a decent game. He had 95 yards on 20 carries, which is good. He had the one really nice 35-yard run. And then plenty of plays that weren't really highlight worthy, but he was just making good cuts, getting some first downs here and there, made a few guys miss tackles. So all in all, a good performance running with the ball. Receiving, he did catch all four passes thrown his way, but he only gained 11 yards on those catches. And the really big red mark for him was he fumbled the ball as a receiver as well. So overall, Eddie Lacy probably would have had a better game than Starks had, but I'm comparing Starks to all the running backs in the NFL. Starks had an average game for an NFL running back, and if Lacy were to miss some time either now or at some point in the season, I think Starks would be able to fill in and do a fine job in his absence.
Yeah, he's veteran enough where I think he can do that by now for sure. He's been the bell cow in the past. We talked earlier about Nate Palmer kind of seeing the first extended action of his career. We also saw Ty Montgomery get his first extended look. How did the rookie hold up against NFL caliber competition?
Yeah, Montgomery looked good in his playing time in this one. He was in a little bit when Devontae Adams was out, and then the Packers used that four wide receiver set that was really successful for them. So he caught all four passes thrown his way. Two of them went for first downs. He had one, a pretty impressive one, where he had a quick out pass and then two guys missed tackles on him on his way to a first down. Also worth noting that there was a screen play where he had a good screen block as well. So he had a good game, not just catching the ball. So comparing him to other rookies in the league, a lot of the rookie receivers in the NFL haven't looked overly impressive this year, where Montgomery was playing above average football in his first game with extended action, at times lining up against Richard Sherman. So overall, I think it was a pretty good game for someone in their first game with extended time.
Yeah, to draw those penalties against Sherman were huge for the Packers. I know Pro Football Focus graded Don Barclay rather harshly, but I know I thought, all things considered, you know, making a start on short notice and not allowing a sack against a good defense, I thought he held up well. What led to Barclay's poor grade?
In the run game, it was a lot of either Cliff Averill or Reuben or Hill consistently beating him on blocks and then able to make plays in the run game. The man that Barclay was responsible for blocking had one tackle for a loss and another four tackles for short gains. So that's basically one in every five run plays that it was a successful play for Seattle, because the man Barclay was supposed to block ended up making the play on the play. And then in the pass game, Cliff Averill was able to fairly consistently get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers was leaving the pocket a lot more than we usually see him because of that pressure from both tackles in this one. And since Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, he was still able to turn plenty of those into successful plays, but we still grade Barclay based on his performance and not what ends up happening after he allows pressure. Where if it was a different quarterback other than Rodgers, I would not have been surprised if Barclay would have allowed a couple of sacks in this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of Don Barclay. I mean, I guess he's serviceable. You can live with him for as long as you have to. You don't want to have him out there as a starter, but the Packers may have no other choice. Moving on to the Chiefs next week, I know I'm especially interested in knowing the challenge Barclay and the rest of the offensive line too they face this week, because I know they have the Chiefs have some good pass rushers, but what else can we expect from the Chiefs on both offense and defense?
Yeah, the Chiefs will be a very interesting matchup. I think the two teams match up fairly well against each other. On defense, the Chiefs have had a very good run defense so far this year. Basically, all of their defensive linemen, linebackers have looked good against the run. And their pass rush, Justin Houston last year was arguably the best edge rusher in the NFL. He's someone who almost always lines up on the defense's left side. So he will be going up against Barclay in this one. So I could see Barclay, specifically in the pass game, struggling even more unless the Packers give him some help. Outside of Houston, the Chiefs haven't had a ton of other pass rush this year. In the past, Tom Bahali's been a really good pass rusher as well, but he's had a little bit of a slow start to the season. In coverage, they have plenty of depth, but Jamil Fleming, who will be their right cornerback, so going up against whoever lines up at left wide receiver, Fleming has had two fairly poor performances so far, so I could see the Packers taking advantage of that. Then the Chiefs on offense, they haven't done as well as they would probably like this season. Alex Smith hasn't performed as well as he has in the past, even though he has better receiving options. The run game hasn't been great so far, mostly from Charles' fumble in that last game, but someone to worry about on the Chiefs offense is Travis Kelce, who is really emerged as a receiver. I would argue he's the second best receiving tight end in the NFL right now, just behind Rob Gronkowski. He's been playing that good in his time so far, so I could see the Packers having a little bit of trouble stopping Kelce, but it'll definitely be an interesting matchup between the two teams.
Interesting name there. I haven't heard a whole lot about Travis Kelce. Good information for the fantasy football players out there. Hopefully the Packers keep him in check, at least for one game, though. Nathan, before we let you go, I know there's big changes kind of taking place at ProFootballFocus.com that are kind of coming down the pike rather soon. Could you explain what's happening there and what will take place?
Sure. A couple of things that have been happening recently. One, we have a college section that we've been updating a lot more frequently. We did the college games last year, but we didn't get all of them done until after the season was over. So we used it a little bit for NFL draft prep. But now we have a lot of consistent college articles going up. I'll get to be watching the Badger game in a bit of detail pretty much after I'm done with this call. So
nice.
We'll get to see how those players are doing. Along with that, our grades that we've had in the past, we've always had a plus minus grades of how good people have been doing over the course of this season or over the course of a game. We also have a new rating system from 0 to 100. That's basically how good we think a player is right now, taking into account their last 2 years of all the data that we have on them, looking at predictively how well, how important we think games are that happened recently versus how games were a while ago. If players haven't had much playing time, kind of projecting that playing time out a little bit so we would have a better idea of how a part-time player would do in a full-time role. And that's all gone into our 0 to 100 grades. So whenever you go to this site, you can see a couple of top 10 lists from that. Plus, we have a lot more content going up than we've ever had in the past. So plenty more to read about all various players, doing more with podcast and video as well, so you can see that too.
Very cool. Almost a real life Madden rating with the 1 to 100 grade. So I'm looking forward to that. Nathan, thanks so much for joining us as you do every Wednesday. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you again after the Chiefs game.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the game this weekend.
All right, you too. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us, like I said, every Wednesday during the season here on the show. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. Time for the next segment on the show.
Packers news of the day.
We are still waiting on, maybe definitive word on Eddie Lacy. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, had the ankle injury against the Seahawks, came out in the first quarter of the game, never returned. And of course, when a player just can't return, you know, Devontae Adams came out of the game and then came back. You're probably not worried too much about him. Maybe he's not 100%, but you're pretty much sure he's going to be out there against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the word, of course, is, and I know this was first reported by Adam Schefter of ESPN, the x-rays were negative on Eddie Lacy, and that's a good thing. Just kind of waiting to see, you know, how long it's going to keep him out. I know there's optimism that he's going to be able to play in the Packers Week 3 game here coming up, but we will know more Thursday. Typically, today, the day this show is being recorded, Wednesday, is normally the day the Packers get back to practice during a normal week when a game's on a Sunday, but they have the atypical Monday night football game, so they players kind of get an extra day off to rest their bodies. That's a good thing, I guess. It's bad in that, you know, next week's going to be a short week, but for the time being, they get the extra day of rest. And so Packers won't be releasing an injury report like they typically do on Wednesdays. That's going to wait till Thursday. So just a little bit different here this week as we kind of wait to learn what Eddie Lacy, his status will be. But in the interim, the Packers going to rely on James Starks as they did against the Seahawks, who did very well, had over 100 yards from scrimmage between both his rushing and receiving efforts. And you know what? The Packers, Mike McCarthy said in his last press conference the day after the game, how much, you know, trust they have in him. He's been around for a long time now. And, you know, really, it dates back to his rookie year. I mean, just remember how much attention there was on James Starks back then, because he had spent the whole beginning of the season on the PUP list. And all of a sudden, the Packers have all these injuries, and he comes back, and he's basically the starter, during a Super Bowl run, and he's barely even played, and really ended up, you know, contributing rather nicely towards a Packers Super Bowl victory that season. But I mean, since that time, he's, you know, early in his career, the first year or two, even three, James Starks dealt with a lot of injuries, but really the past two, three seasons now, he's been very reliable, and maybe part of it is due to sharing carries with you know, Eddie Lacy. You know, really, I wouldn't even call it almost sharing, giving way to Eddie Lacy to you know, carry the bulk of the load. But still, I mean, it's not as if James Starks never plays. I know there's been statistics thrown out there that they've kind of been the number one and number two running back combo in the National Football League in terms of, you know, combined yardage and things like that. So James Starks is a guy the Packers can rely on. And you know, Mike McCarthy even said on Monday that they could, you know, if they had to, they'd be more than comfortable with a 50-50 split between Eddie Lacy and James Starks. And maybe you'll see that as they kind of wait for Eddie Lacy to get back to 100%, because maybe he comes back on Monday, but maybe he's limited. Maybe you don't want him being that, you know, 25 carry per game kind of guy. That's a lot of carries, but I mean, you could almost see a situation where they get maybe a dozen carries each or something like that, as the Packers kind of ease Eddie Lacy back into things and kind of hope that, you know, he gets back to, you know, health. And I suppose another silver lining here is, you know, the Monday Night Football game, Eddie Lacy has an extra day of rest. And maybe, you know, that extra 24 hours will help him get back into shape and you know, getting that ankle right, and you know, playing against the Chiefs. So we'll see. But the Packers more than comfortable with James Starks. He's not Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy is the better option in pretty much, you know, every category, from running to receiving to pass protection. But it's not like James Starks can't do these things. And you know, they relied on him this past week, and they'll continue to rely on him for as long as need be. Will be interesting to see, though, the kind of domino effect, and see rookie running back Alonzo Harris, kind of one of the players who were the last, you know, one of the last players kept on the 53-man roster at the end of training camp, when the Packers had to, you know, cut everything down. We'll see if he's active for the first time of his career, and it could be dependent on Eddie Lacy's health. And you know, it's kind of it's an important, you know, when the Packers they have the 53-man roster, but of course, as you know, they can only have 46 active on game days. So, you know, they really don't want to have to use that roster spot on somebody if they don't need to. If Eddie Lacy's healthy, you know, they're not going to want, you know, and Alonzo Harris is, you know, they don't want him to play two snaps. They don't want to give him a roster spot. They'll give it to somebody else who can, you know, play a whole lot more on special teams or things like that. So hopefully Alonzo Harris too is healthy enough. He, of course, during the preseason was wearing that club cast on his hand that last preseason, which was just weird as all heck, to see a skill position player wear a club cast. But I think, you know, we had heard in the aftermath of that game, it had come off, and hopefully he's doing better now, and would be able to carry the football if called upon. But anyway, just and want to draw your attention to one more thing. At 24/7 Sports published an article yesterday, and you can, you know, look through, go to our main Green Bay Packers page to find it if you want to. But I thought it was worth drawing attention to. There was so much attention, emphasis during the offseason about the Packers getting off to a fast start. You know, in each of the past 3 seasons, they got off to a 1-2 start, and the Packers wanted to avoid that at all costs this year. You know, they wanted to get off to the fast start, and there was so much attention during the preseason about what they're doing and how can they accomplish that, and is what they're doing in the preseason working toward that goal? Well, it's official. The Packers are not starting off this season 1-2. Even if they were to lose on Monday Night Football, you know, the worst they could be is 2-1. So they get off to the fast start, which is going to put the Packers in better position down the stretch. You know, in each of the past 3 years, they get off to the 1-2 start. Perhaps it's no coincidence that they haven't gotten home field advantage throughout the playoffs in each of the past 3 seasons either, despite qualifying for the playoffs. So, you know, this is really kind of putting Green Bay in the driver's seat, to accomplish that goal, to get at least 2 home playoff games, both in divisional round and in the conference championship game. That's why this was so important, because, you know, you're like this, if you're the Seahawks now, you're digging yourself out of a hole. You know, you start 0-2, and it's, you know, you're almost scrapping and clawing just to make the playoffs. Forget about hosting a game, forget about getting a bye. You're just wanting to make the playoffs. Well, the Packers, not to say you can rest on your laurels, they haven't accomplished all their goals yet. But this is the kind of thing where, you know, they can certainly have some peace of mind and know that they're in the driver's seat, that everybody else is, you know, games back behind them, and they're doing a good job to accomplish the goal of home field advantage. So I thought that was notable, after there was so much attention in the offseason about they accomplished the goal, pretty much. No 1-2 start this year. You know, 2-0 now, and hoping to go 3-0 by the end of week 3. But for the next segment on the show,
The Day Ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, as I explained earlier, you know, normally Wednesday would be the day they get back to work, the day they would get back to practice, If you know, it's your regular Sunday schedule where you're playing Sundays pretty much week in, week out. But they got the atypical Monday Night Football game this week, so no practice today. Players have a kind of an extra day off. They get to rest. And no injury report on Wednesday. It will be released as usual. It'll be released 3 consecutive days. It's just that those 3 consecutive days start on Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, and you don't get that kind of game day status projection until Saturday then. You know, every week they kind of list those players where they're, you know, probable, questionable, doubtful, or out for the game. Usually that report comes on Friday. This week it'll come on Saturday, so I know that'll be anticipated, you know, especially people who you know, waiting to see what Eddie Lacy's status is. And if you're a fantasy football player, I can imagine you're waiting on pins and needles trying to figure out whether to start him or not on your fantasy team. So that'll just give you a timeline of at least of when these things will happen. But seeing as it is a day off for the Green Bay Packers, it's kind of the one of the few things to look forward to today is the talk show circuit, and the one that happens live is the Corey Linsley show on WDUZ Radio, 107.5 FM, 1400 AM, The Fan in Green Bay. And that's kind of a every other week rotating basis. One week Corey Linsley hosts it, the other week Dayton Jones hosts it, and they kind of go back and forth every other week during the season. So this week, the Packers center, and I know his guest this week is rookie fullback Aaron Ripkowski. So if you're hoping to learn a little bit more about one of the rookies on the team, this will be the opportunity. That takes place at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time, hour-long show, so from 6 to 7. And even if you live outside the area, you can stream it pretty much worldwide online at their website, which is 1075thefan.com. Or is it thefan1075.com? I forget which one comes first there, but you can find it in our Packers calendar post here at 24/7 Sports for sure. I know I've put the link there, and you can find it if you want to tune in and listen. So that's the only live show. There are a few pre-recorded ones, including Green Bay Nation on WFRV Channel 5 in Green Bay at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. This week's host is wide receiver Devontae Adams, and again, that's another rotating host there on that show. So that airs in the Green Bay market on Wednesday evening, and then finally across the region, kind of basically pretty much statewide in the state of Wisconsin and a few affiliates across the Midwest, the weekly Mike McCarthy show airs on Wednesday nights as well. 6:30 p.m. Central Time. You can check Packers.com for the local listings there. But pretty much, I mean, if you live in Wisconsin, you can see it somewhere. And even if you're not, if you live in the Midwest, you may be in luck too. So there's your schedule for the day in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday. And that'll do it for today's show at Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Already got a guest lined up for this Friday. This is an interesting one. Former Green Bay Packer and former Kansas City Chief Bill Mahs, defensive lineman. I thought that was interesting to get him this week, seeing as he's played for both teams and he can do a little bit of compare and contrast to what the atmosphere is like at Arrowhead Stadium as opposed to Lambeau Field. So he's played for both teams. I'm interested to get his perspective prior to the upcoming Monday Night Football game, pitting the Packers against the Chiefs. So looking forward to that on Friday. So that'll be at 8:30 a.m. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m., the live edition, and then podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes and a brief comment too, if you wouldn't mind. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So do us a solid and give us a rating if you would please take just a moment of your time to do that. We greatly appreciate it. Many of you have, and I appreciate you taking the time. This thing you certainly didn't have to do, but we like it because it helps get word out about the show, and anybody who's searching the internet for a Packers podcast to listen to, that helps kind of put us at the top of the list when they're searching, because you know, if you've listened this far into the show already, that it is the best on the internet. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening, right? We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday. I leave you today with a song called So Far From Home by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.